baby.
It's time for the Return of the Empire podcast. 1 hour of all things red and gold. Return of the Empire. Here are your hosts, Sacktown Sports 49ers insider Emil Fragoso and Nate Littlefield.
Yes, sir. Back again. Emil Fragoso, Nate Littlefield, Return of the Empire. Talking sports. Talking Niners. Kyle Ledbetter is back behind the cameras, behind doing the ones and twos. We appreciate you being back, my guy.
That's me. Hi.
Hi, Kyle. How was your drive from Dixon? Was it good?
It was lovely. I went to do a corn maze. It was fun.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. It's like the biggest corn maze in the world in Dixon.
I guess.
Right?
As of 2014. I don't know what the updated numbers are.
Yeah, they need another consensus on
that
one.
Some time.
That's, you know, almost 10 years.
Yeah.
Long time.
We need an updated version, but in 2014, they got a Guinness World Record.
Well, we're glad you're here. We're glad you didn't get taken in the maze. Well,
yeah, no, the maze was fun. We made it out just in time to get here to talk about the 49ers losing a third game in a row.
And that they did. Of course, the Niners started the season 5-0, now 5-3, entering the week 9 bye after losing the Cincinnati Bengals 31-17 at home. This is a very reminiscent game of week 7 last year against the Kansas City Chiefs, Nate.
Yeah, I think last year it was worse. It felt like you couldn't hang with a team like that. Last year was worse in the sense of that game being a total beatdown. The Niners were in this one for the most part, but it just so depressing.
It didn't feel like that at half. Even though the score was 14-10, it didn't feel like that at half because the Bengals, and this is not hyperbole, had 20 first downs at half, and the Niners had 20 total offensive plays.
Yeah, very disheartening. It's time of possession at the end of the game. I just kind of mentioned this in our crossover, but 28 minutes for the Niners, 31 for the for the Bengals. Like, a lot of the stats look really similar. Total yards,
yep.
Niners 460, Bengals 400. First downs, Niners 24, Bengals 29. I know that's five. That's significant for sure, but you look at penalties. Bengals had a single penalty for 15 yards. The Niners had five for 54 yards.
And those are only the ones accepted because they had more than that.
Yes, they did. And the Niners, I mean, were the killers, the three turnovers.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like you have the turnover in the red zone.
Yeah.
So did the Bengals.
Mm-hmm.
But the Niners, I'd argue, is at a more crucial point in the game. Just a stupid interception. Just Brock, I mean, it's hard to blame him. I think it's a huge learning.
The first or the second one? What are you talking about right now?
The first, okay. The interception inside the five.
Yes.
That interception is, I mean, I guess it's not hard to blame him. I think it's a great learning moment for him. If he's going to get rid of that ball, make sure there's no one around. Make sure there's no opportunity for a defender to make a play on that ball.
Yeah.
And it's a tip that just turned in. Probably should have been a pick six.
Yeah.
Brutal.
But Brock trying to get the tackle, and he was pushed out. Thankfully, Jermaine Pratt was one that got that pick. So that play was a designed option play for either a handoff to the running back, or a shovel pass to George Kittle, kind of similar to what the Chiefs do with Patrick Mahomes to Travis Kelce.
Yeah.
But Brock audibled, and he kind of tried to do improvisation and saw Elijah Mitchell in the back of the end zone, tried to do a little too much, and turned the ball over. It was a good play by Jermaine Pratt.
Yeah. He did a lot of improvising, unfortunately. He was forced to against the Bengals. He ended up being the leading rusher for the 49ers at only 57 yards.
That's not good. No.
Six carries for 57, that's a good average, though. almost 10
for,
yards
for anyone, yeah, not just the quarterback.
But that's... You like to see him have that ability. You don't like to be put in a position where that's one of the highlights of the game.
Especially a week coming back and a short week from a concussion.
Yeah.
You don't want to see your quarterback have to be scrambling for his life and, you know, making plays with his feet and taking tough hits, which he did. And Brock's a gamer. They call him Bot Purdy for a reason. And he finished his day 22-31, 365 passing, 1 TD, 2 interceptions. And it's the second interception for me that was the most jarring thing about his performance because... That, in my opinion, was his worst interception I've ever seen him throw. It made no sense.
And that says a lot after last week.
It made no sense in the moment.
Yeah.
Because think about the circumstances, right? They turn the ball over, and right after the Niners turn the ball over in the first interception, the Bengals go four straight plays and punt. Then all the Niners do is drive down the field. They're a touchdown down late in the third, I believe.
Yeah.
And all they have to do is go and score. All they have to do is go there and tie it up. What happens? First play. Brock's trying to force Juwan to Brandon Ayuk over the middle. Logan Wilson just sitting right there on it, picks it off, returns for 10 yards. Next play after that, Ja'Marr Chase touchdown. You can't make mistakes like that against a team like the Bengals. They're gonna curse you. And unfortunately, Brock has made the mistakes in the most crucial moments the last 2 weeks especially.
Yeah, they're putting a lot of pressure on him to win the games. Mm-hmm. And he is young. He's not handling it amazingly. There's time for that to change, obviously. And it needs to change.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of other changes that need to be made first. As I say the word change 800 times in two sentences.
A lot of change needs to happen.
A lot of change needs to happen.
That's what the bye week's for, though.
It's the truth. That's what the bye week's for. That's what the trade deadline is for.
Yeah.
I don't know how much I want to talk about this Bengals game, how much we need to talk about it. It's just a sucky loss.
It really is. But what sucks about it is that the Niners have done the same thing, it feels like, for 3 weeks. They haven't played as a team. Yeah. They haven't played as a unit. When the offense is clicking for a series, the defense doesn't back it up. When the defense is clicking for a series, the offense doesn't back it up. And vice versa. They're not playing together as a unit on offense and defense. And I know that sounds weird because how can offense and defense play together all the time? They're two different units. But the Niners have been able to do that the first 5 weeks of the season. They've been able to rebound and build off of each other's performances and come out as a full unit and a full team. And it feels like, especially on defense, their heart and soul has been taken.
It totally has. They're completely demoralized. I really thought the Cleveland game was... I had some good excuses for that Cleveland game. I really did. It was,
we all did.
The weather, it was Trent Williams getting hurt, Debo getting hurt.
Jake Moody,
exactly. Yep. And then Minnesota, it's like, okay, they're reeling. What is this? This is too bad in a row. Uh-huh. This game is significantly worse and pretty embarrassing. And then this week, it's complete demoralizing loss, and it sucks they have to sit on that loss for the bye week. I mean, I'm happy there's kind of a refreshment with the trade made today.
Yeah.
You know, kind of splash some water in your face, get set. But... I, as a 49ers fan, which I am, I'm not a reporter, I'm not anything, I guess I'm technically a co-host. As a fan, I'm sad.
Look,
plain and simple.
I'm a fan of this Niners team. I'm not a fan of the Niners per se, but I'm a fan of this Niners unit because I like good football. I like covering...
You cover them. It's like...
I like covering teams that are winning. It's fun. It's more fun to cover teams that are winning. I feel like as a reporter, you get better sound bites. You just have more fun doing it because the team is winning.
The people are happier generally.
Yeah, they want to give you more quotes and stuff. It's harder to cover the losses. And while it's part of the game, obviously, it's still harder to do it. But what hurts me the most and why I've been kind of arguing with other Niners media members, and we'll have one on coming on in the next segment, but I've been arguing with a lot of Niners members because I can't figure it out.
Yeah.
I can't figure out what's wrong. And it seems like neither can they. I don't know what's going on because 3 weeks ago, they dismantled the Cowboys on national television. Yeah. And they looked like the team to beat in both conferences. And now 3 weeks later, it looks like they lost every... It's like watching a parody movie over and over again and thinking that you're watching the actual film. And you're like, when's the real film going to start?
Yeah, like watching Scary Movie over and over. Yeah. Like Scary Movie 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And being like, when do these get scary?
Yeah, when do these get scary? Like, is there ever going to be a treat or just going to get tricked?
Yeah.
There's so much trick or treat right now happening at Halloween, obviously. But...
Oh, happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween, everyone, I should say. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Yeah. I'm the only one who showed up in costume, you know?
I had a costume this weekend.
My costume is reporter.
We'll get into that later.
It's my costume.
My costume is sad Niners fan.
A lot of people are wearing that costume.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, look, this team just isn't playing like a unit, and I don't know who's to blame here. Is it Steve Wilkes? Is it the play call and the players? I can't tell you, but Fred Warner said something really obvious, and he goes, you know, talking about Steve Wilkes, obviously. Steve Wilkes, a lot of blame right now, going from the box down to the floor. Does he have to move? Does he have to do different things? He'd switch up his approach. Fred goes, Steve Wilkes is one of the least of my problems right now. At the end of the day, players win games, not coaches. And he's right. He's right. But at the same time, coaches have to scheme their players in the right positions. It's twofold.
I think the easy answer is to blame Steve Wilkes, and I think there is some definite blame for him to take, and he has. I'm excited to ask Larry about this. We're having Larry Kruger on the next segment. I want to see what he thinks this issue is, because are you talking defense specifically right now, Emil? Because I feel like everything is stemming from the Niners not having a run game, which has been the identity of Kyle Shanahan this whole time. Yeah, because the run game is demoralizing for another team. If you can run it down their throat, it's brutal. I thought this team was have a brutal run game, and then now we've opened up the passing game with Brock. He can sling it because the best part of this team right now is the passing game, which is surreal for me to watch as a fan.
Yeah.
So I thought, okay, we're adding another level to this. This is going to be great. The play action is going to be there just as often as it has been. But now they have more things to worry about. So much motion before the snap. All this stuff. I really think everything stems from the Niners establishing a run game. And I do think that goes to over to the defensive side too, because they're on the field so much more.
Yeah.
And they're being ran so much harder and more often.
I mean, just looking at the possessions for the Bengals. They have, I'm just counting it right now, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They had 5 possessions of 7 plays or more.
Yeah.
That's not good.
That's not good.
That means more
Vikings
time on the field.
Had a similar stat, too. Yeah, similar, I can't name it off the top of my
it
head.
It was about the same number as well. Yeah. You cannot let your defense be, no matter how good your defense is, you can't let them be on the field the whole time. They're going to get fatigue and gas, and especially with Dre Greenlaw, who needed this week off because he's banged up to, oh boy, let me tell you.
He's laying down after almost every play.
Oh, like it was brutal. I've never seen... It got so bad, Joe Mixon, after one run, pointed at him on the ground.
Yeah.
When has any player ever pointed at Dre Greenlaw and said, ha-ha, I got you?
Ugh.
Joe Mixon did Sunday. And that's just a fatigue thing. That's just being tired, being worked so much. This Niners team is built like a super team. They have all the same players, but sometimes they've faltered. And this season, it's been mid-season slumps, not the start of the season slumps like it usually has been.
It's such a conundrum for me.
It's a good word.
UC Davis.
There you go.
Stepping in. My degree finally doing something for me. First time for everything.
Professional broadcaster Nate Littlefield here.
Yeah, never
thought. Conundrums.
Never thought I'd be here today. Thanks, folks. I'm frustrated, to say the least. I'm demoralized as a fan. I'm just confused.
I think your point was right about Steve Wilks, though, Nate, because like I said this earlier, if you take the exact same results of the defense for the 49ers and say they're 6-2 instead of 5-3, like people are not having the same reaction about Steve Wilks.
Yeah.
Like it's the easiest thing to point to because it's been 3 in a row,
mm-hmm.
but like there have been other issues, namely guys not being healthy and the secondary kind of regressing just because of the opponents that they've played, not necessarily the...
Fair.
Not necessarily anything they're doing.
There's questions, too, about them running the wide nine defense and not being able to stop the run, because I believe they're 29th or 28th in run defense.
They're bad.
Bad, yeah. The wide nine, by the way, if you don't know, defense is where you take your defensive end and stick them out like 2 spots farther than they should be, or not where they should be, just where they normally are. So that the Niners have been running a lot of that, and if you don't do it right, you get gashed because now there's a huge gap in between that the running back can go through, and it's just messy. It's really messy. I think we will maybe get into some positive. Do you want to do maybe 1 or 2 positives right now
from the game or in general?
Either. I'll take either. I'll take either right now.
Well, from the game, I think Brock Purdy played very well through the first 40 minutes of the game.
Yeah.
I think Brock Purdy played very well and kept them in the game for a lot of it. He was making some wonderful throws, had a beautiful layer throw to Brandon Ayuk in the corner, as well as making those beautiful darts both to Kittle, both up the seam before the end of the half, and then one over the middle as well for about 25, 30 yards. That stuff with Brock is where I think he's so talented and so special as a quarterback. Yes, he needs to cut out the turnovers, but like Fred Warner has said, Brock is the least of his concern because Brock has the right stuff.
Yeah, I'm not worried about Brock either. I think the youngness factor comes in. I think people, you got to give him a little bit, right?
He's 23. Like,
you got to give him a little bit. We got to give him a little bit of leeway. He was pretty amazing coming in.
Yeah.
He's kind of playing a different game this year. He's getting a lot more comfortable. And when you get more comfortable, you do make mistakes.
You do.
I know personally from this job I do here, the more comfortable I've gotten, the more mistakes I make. And I'm not trying to compare being a show producer to being the quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers, but I just did. No, so
you know, if they're pretty similar.
Let me, I'll mention a positive right here before we go to break, though. The Brock to Kittle connection, looking pretty deadly. I'm liking that. Kittle, 9 yards for 149, coming in. Pretty important moments. Getting him back in the passing game, essential.
Yeah.
Essential, and makes me happy. It doesn't have to be every game.
No.
He can have 30-yard games, like 2 catch, whatever. But them building chemistry, extremely important.
It is.
So.
Well, Brock and Kittle definitely have a lot of chemistry. They were very good down the stretch last year, I believe, scoring in like 4 or 5 straight games to end the season. They were they were on fire, that connection. It kind of went away to start the year because he would need in the run game more so. But now that the Niners are struggling offensively to get yards, especially with them not running the ball very well, Kittle has to be more used in that in the passing game. Did you see that jet sweep they ran for him on third
Minnesota.
And one?
That was the Minnesota game.
I'm pretty sure it was a Minnesota game as well.
Yeah, it was just,
I want to see more of that.
Yeah,
like,
more
just get Kittle in space.
Yeah. Exactly. He doesn't have to catch it. Yeah, get him in space. I agree. I love the creativeness creativity Shanahan has in the offense like that. And I don't know. I want to see more craziness.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to see more creativity too. I think Kyle's gotten spooked a little bit in his play calling, but we're going to break down more of the Niners week 8 loss and where they're at going into the bye. Additionally, it was trade deadline day. And we haven't talked about it yet, but we will after the break. Niners got Chase Young, a huge, huge addition on the defensive line. And we're going to have a special guest coming on as well. Larry Kruger is going to be joining us very shortly here on the Return of the Empire show. So, yeah, Return of the Empire, Mil Fregoso, Nate Littlefield, Kyle Ledbetter, and the ones and twos. We'll be back after this break.
Welcome back to the Return of the Empire podcast
with Emil Fregoso and Nate Littlefield.
Return of the Empire, Emil Fregoso, Nate Littlefield, and we are talking NFL trade deadline. It was a big one today. The Niners were involved, and joining us on the Return of the Empire show is Larry Kruger. Larry, how you doing, my guy?
What's up? What's going on?
What's up, Larry? It's nice to talk to you. I'm Nate Littlefield. Nice to meet you, informally, I guess.
Well, thanks for having me on, guys. What's going on? I've been hanging out in the green room, eating all the food, and
we got a lot of good snacks in there.
Yeah.
I destroyed that place, man. I crushed that green room, man.
I gotta ask him something.
Go for it. Yeah.
So it's Halloween, Larry. How annoying is it to have the last name that you have around this time of year? Do people just harass you?
It was nothing until Nightmare on Elm Street came around.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden that movie became kind of a cult following. Now, you know, I usually get it at the gas station or something, you know.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah.
All right, so yeah, we're talking trade deadline, and obviously we haven't brought this up yet, but the Niners made a huge trade for star defensive end Chase Young, getting back a compensatory third-round pick for Chase Young, now a part of the 49ers, a former number 2 overall pick, very, very talented player. What's your overall reaction to the Niners trade deadline today, Larry?
Well, I mean, I think they had to do something. I mean, they were... You know, this team is just, you know, the 49 through 8 games, the non-Bosa defensive ends. So that would be Cleveland Farrell, Drake Jackson, Kerry Hyder, Gregory. That quartet's got 5.5 sacks and 22 pressures in 8 games. So they had to do something. They had to do something because, you know, why it makes no sense to go spend the kind of money you spent on Nick Bosa and Javon Hargrave to not finish the deal. You know, it's just too easy for offensive lines to slide their protection towards Bosa if you're going to be weak at the other defensive end spot. So I don't know that you needed somebody as good as Chase Young, but I'm glad they got him. And, you know, the bottom line is the Niners, I think, ranked like 24th in pressure percentage and 18th in sacks. And that ain't getting it done when you see the kind of money that you know, that they're spending on their defensive line. So I like it. I think it's a smart move.
Well, Larry, we got Larry Kruger of the Krug Show on YouTube here with us joining Return of the Empire. I wanted to ask you about the Niners secondary. You had a tweet yesterday just kind of listing a bunch of things that you think the Niners should do or, you know, could try out. One of the things you listed was playing Jair Brown at safety. And I'm curious, who would you be – be replacing Tashaun Gibson? Is that kind of the idea there?
Well, I mean, I actually kind of think that you might have to replace Afonga. I mean, you know, Gibson is the deep middle. He plays that center field, and I think Jair could play the deep middle. But I actually think they need to be stronger against the run as well. So it really, you know, I think Jair Brown has got kind of a varied skill set. Mm-hmm. So I think he could play at either spot. I think he could play the deep middle and cover the ground, but I also think he might be really good in the box. So to me, it would be like play this guy a little bit more. And if you got to play him in both spots at times, play him in both spots. But I was thinking originally about, you know, get Gibson off the field because I don't think Gibson's really good at anything. I don't think he's great at coverage, and I don't think he's great in the box as a hitter. I think he's a center fielder who plays the deep middle, and if there's an errant pass, he's got sticky hands, and he's got 30-something career picks, and he'll get his hands on it, and he won't drop it. And he was like the anti-Tart, right?
Yeah.
It's worked out to some degree, but I mean, Tart was better against the run than Gibson is against the run. So, I just think I'd like to see Jair Brown. I think Jair Brown's fast. He's physical. He wants to run into people, and their run defense right now is just, it seems like it's Greenlaw and Warner and just a bunch of guys standing around.
Yeah, and you mentioned that Talanoa Funga could be the one as well. Do you feel like he's kind of regressed this season after coming on strong into an All-Pro last year? Or maybe even Jair could even play in that Jimmy Ward role as a nickel kind of hitter in that spot. Is that possible for him even too?
Well, I don't think there's any question that Hufanga, people see the hair and he got the early All-Pro and they're like, Palomalu, know, and he's not.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, he's a nice player, but, it seems like he's a guy that needs to come off the field a little bit because when he was fresher, he would fall off less tackles.
Mm-hmm.
Now that he's playing as much as he is, he falls off a lot of tackles.
Like, yeah.
I think Hufanga has a genius ability to attack the mesh point as a box safety in the cover three, walk him up, let him read it and attack. And he hasn't done that this year. He hasn't done it. And what I'm seeing now is I'm seeing a guy who is kind of falls off a lot of tackles. I mean, the Niners have missed like 19 tackles in the last couple of games, and he's missed a bunch of them.
So back to the D-line here. Who do you think is – like, how much blame do you give Steve Wilks for kind of how the underperformance of the Niners D-line this year?
Well, it's interesting. A couple of weeks ago, I asked him, I said, Chris is kind of known to like to play – Chris Kocerek is known to like to play a lot of games up front. Mm-hmm. When I said games, of course, I'm talking about stunts and twists. And I've heard players say, oh yeah, Chris calls, dials up some incredible games up front and they're well choreographed and they're well executed. And that adds to their pass rush ability. But I asked, Steve about a month ago during one of the pressers, I'm like, how does that work on this defense? And he's like, I call all that. So Steve, now Chris is part of that dialogue, but Steve's calling all that. All the games up front, he's designing them and calling them. So, I mean, he's the coordinator. He's got to take responsibility for the defense, good, bad, and ugly. The good, the bad, and the ugly, and, on the front, in the middle, on the back end. It's his show. It's his show. So, if it works, he gets the praise. And if it doesn't work, it's his feet that are held to the fire.
Yeah, me and you, Larry, we were on that conference call on Monday, and Kyle had mentioned that he was going to talk with Steve this week about maybe moving from the booth down to the sideline, similar to how D'Amico did it last year and Robert Saleh before that. Do you think that'd be a big boost in morale for them to have their defensive coordinator back down there? Do you think that guys like Chris Kocerek need to do a better job, I guess, of, I don't know, energizing them a little bit? Because it feels like they lost their spark a bit defensively.
I mean, there could be a couple issues. One, I mean, I know Tim Ryan, the color analyst on the radio, has called for it. I know there's been a lot of talk about the communication is not streamlined, that they have to go through Daryl Tapp and some of the communication is getting lost in the translation.
Mm-hmm.
That's a problem.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I think Steve should watch it wherever he feels most comfortable. He's calling the defense. And if he feels, it's like Steve Wilks is the first defensive coordinator to call the game from the booth. He's not. It's not like every guy's down there in the sidelines. You call it from where you feel like you have the best vantage point. He's a former defensive back. Mm-hmm. He's a former defensive backfield coach. Oftentimes, those guys want to see the coverage and have the bird's eye view on the coverage.
Yeah.
So I'm not – the worst thing they could do is start dictating to Steve Wilks what his vantage point is. If he thinks his best vantage point – because it's like asking a doctor to – it's like the most important thing when you go to the doctor is a correct diagnosis.
Mm-hmm.
So, if the doctor needs a certain vantage point to, view the patient, the last thing you want to do is force him into some, vantage point that you think is better that he doesn't think is you know, his best spot. So I think Steve needs to be where he's most comfortable. They just need to work on the communication and make sure that there's some dialogue and some open dialogue and some, you know, that there's ease of communication, not just between Wilkes and Warner, mm-hmm. but Wilkes and his entire defense throughout the game.
Well, Larry, let's jump to the other side of the ball here. I want to talk offense for a minute. The Niners' identity really offensively forever really has been run first, right? Run first team. And the run is just not working right now. It hasn't been working for the past few weeks. Is it all because of Trent Williams, or what's going on? I know you've mentioned putting Feliciano at a starting center position. Just curious your take on that.
I mean, they have not gotten any push and opened any run lanes between mm-hmm. the tackles all year. So it's not Trent Williams being out the last, what, game? That the last two games that's done it?
Yeah.
That's not it. They're just not getting a lot of push. Mm-hmm. Now, is that Burford? Is that Brendel? I mean, we saw DJ Reader just waltz Brendel 4 feet into the backfield.
Yeah.
I felt like I was watching a pro football player play against high schoolers. Yeah. I mean, that was embarrassing, man. You know, first drive, Brendel, if you didn't see it, got basically launched mm-hmm. by Reader so far into the backfield that there was like separation between him and the rest of the line. So, I mean, that can't happen.
No.
So, Brendel, you might have to get a little bit more heft or a little bit more strength at the point at center. I know they like Brendel, who's a Pro Bowl alternate, but, you know, Feliciano is a bigger, stronger, you know, offensive lineman. So maybe you need a stronger anchor at center. Maybe Banks and Burford are not doing the job. But I'll say this. I mean, they have not been able to run the ball between the tackles at all in the first part of the year. I mean, it's just that the holes are not there. So they really have to change what they're doing mm-hmm. or change up their back. I mean, they have a 235-pound back in J.P. Mason
yeah.
that they show absolutely zero interest in handing the ball to.
That's crazy,
you know,
too.
I mean, people talk about that 26-yard touchdown run. You know, that guy had two steps and was at full speed and was rumbling.
Mm-hmm.
And that was between the tackles. And that was running the ball in a part of the game where everybody on the Cowboys knew they were going to run the ball. They still couldn't stop it.
Yeah.
So I'd like to see a little bit of J.P. Mason. Mitchell has got better pick and slide, better instincts, but I mean, he's getting zero done.
Yeah.
McCaffrey is a really good weapon, but he runs upright.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't run with as much power as Mason.
Yeah.
And to me, I think McCaffrey's so versatile that, especially with Debo out, why not flex out McCaffrey, play him out of the slot, use him as a receiver, and get your best talent on the field? And I think they'll, coming out of the bye, I got to think they're going to do that.
Were you a bit surprised because obviously Aaron Banks is now out for a couple games with that turf toe injury and the line hasn't been getting the run going? Or were you a bit surprised the Niners didn't trade for an offensive lineman at the deadline? I mean, we saw Ezra Cleveland go to Jacksonville for a six-rounder, and that's not a lot of compensation. So did they need to add someone else, or is it just an internal problem that they maybe can fix?
You know, they show no urgency at all in filling this line.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? They took a freaking kicker and a backup tight end over Daywon Jones
oh, yeah.
in the draft.
I remember that because it was in the right scheme, right?
They had a kicker who had made 18 straight or whatever, 38 straight in the playoffs or whatever it was. And they mm-hmm. took a rookie kicker and a tight end who had only played tight end for a short amount of time, you know, over an offensive lineman who's like 370 pounds. Now, I don't know. You could argue that Daywon Jones might not be there. Perfect scheme fit, but day one sure looks good in Cleveland. They obviously like Colton McKivitz, but McKivitz had a rough day, you know, in his last game. So I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure what to say about that. I mean, Ezra Cleveland seems to be a scheme fit.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't he go for like a sixth?
Yeah.
I know they do like their backup linemen. They like Feliciano. They like Jalen Moore. They like Nick Sakel.
Mm-hmm.
Heck, they wound up keeping four backup offensive linemen
yeah.
and cutting DeSean Jameson at the cutdown. So, they obviously feel good about the backup linemen they have. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Chris Forster is probably going to have to answer some tougher questions as the year goes on, because we got to see this offensive line start to open run lanes. Because, you know, if you can't run the ball, and, you know, you're just going to put it all on Brock Purdy and say, hey, you know, we can't run the ball, we can't stop the run, yeah, our defense is a sieve, Brock, come save us. I don't know if that's going to be, I don't know if that's a workable plan.
Yeah, not at this stage of his career. He's a little too young.
Yeah, Larry, I'm just wondering, is there anyone on this team right now that you're surprised that's still here that maybe didn't get traded at the deadline? Me and Emil have been talking about all season, like, the potential of Elijah Mitchell going. Is there anyone for you that kind of surprises you that's still here?
You know, I don't think that, first of all, I don't think that John Lynch has been in the mindset to shop anybody.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they have guys that are not necessarily performing, but they don't, I don't like, nobody really wants Javon Kinlaw's contract. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that could be a spot, but I don't really see him as a coveted player. If they had a coveted player, they would want to keep him. You know, they're inside their Super Bowl window. So I think John Lynch has really, his whole mindset with the trade deadline is all been about adding. Mm-hmm. I don't think there was too much talk about subtraction. Now, I have heard in the last couple of weeks that they're kind of dissatisfied with Drake Jackson and feel like his work ethic is just inconsistent. Mm-hmm. You know, I really like Drake Jackson as a player. They invested a second round pick in him. I like him as a guy. He's a great interview, gregarious young guy. He ain't getting anything done right now.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Larry, we appreciate that. That's all the time we have today. Larry Kruger, The Krug Show on YouTube. Go check him out over there. Larry,
Pig in a Pickle, too.
Pig in a Pickle as well. Thank you. Thank you for being on, Larry. We appreciate you. And I'll see you next week after the bye.
Sounds good, man. Thanks for having me on, fellas.
Of course. See you, Larry. Thank you. Yeah, Larry Kruger joining us on the show. A lot of really good insight. Like, a lot of really good insight where the Niners are at right now, offense and defense. And I do think that they have been more in the addition than subtraction right now. But maybe subtracting a couple of guys would maybe boost other people to perform better, too. I don't know what the answer is. You know, yeah. I don't know what the answer is. And it seems like it's all over the place, too. You know, try different things. You know, leave Steve up there. Maybe Jair comes in. Maybe Huff comes and plays a couple snaps. There's just so many combinations I have to figure out. Like, that's the problem with the Niners, that there's no one right answer.
I think he brought up a really good point about, you know, when it comes to bringing Steve Wilks down to the sideline, is just why force that if there's like no point in just that would, if that's going to throw everything off and make Steve uncomfortable, don't do it. Yeah. But yeah, if there's some actual issues with communication, with technology, then sure, do that. But I don't know about forcing him to be on the sideline for morale.
Yeah, I agree. Well, we got to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to talk some more recap of Week 8 as well, doing our predictions and talking about some sticky notes we made at the start of the year. Some of them came true, some of them didn't, but we'll discuss that after the break. Emil Fragoso, Nate Littlefield, Kyle Ledbetter, Return of the Empire, Sacktown Sports. We'll be back in a minute.
They're going to run this to Mixon
here. Kyle!
Mixon to the left in the gun, going to take it, going to bop out wide, gets wide on both sides, going to walk in the end zone.
Why would you do that?
Strutting, okay. Touchdown Bengals.
All right, no more Bengals highlights. That's it. That's it. No more.
He wants to crawl into a hole.
No, I just don't want to hear that.
It just sucks.
There's
your Purdy soul
over the middle.
Stop,
intercepted
Kyle.
By
I'm taking
Logan
the headphones
Wilson
off.
Why am I giggling?
I love Curb, too. It's like my favorite
it's funny
show. It's not funny.
It is. I mean, by the way, I was here working the game. Greg Papa was just disgusted at the end of that game.
He was so
sad in
we
this fourth quarter.
We all were grossed out. We didn't know what we were watching. It's like watching Jekyll and Hyde the last 3 weeks, honestly. Like the
There's Purdy over the middle, intercepted by Logan Wilson.
The music you're playing is very fitting because they have been, I just say, a clown show defensively the last few weeks. It just haven't been them. They have been themselves. Like, literally, I text after I got done and was going to do post-game recap. I texted Nate and was like, you going to do post-game recap? And 20 minutes later, he's like, I'm at the movies.
I was in the movie theater. I was in the... Well, you... Okay, I would have done it. I would have done it 100%, but I didn't get a text right away. So I was like, okay, I don't know if it's going to be too late or whatever. I had to go see Five Nights at Freddy's, which was fine. But regardless, it was whatever.
Nate Littlefield movie reviews. It was fine.
It was fine.
It was fine.
It was fine, I guess.
Yep. Okay, whenever someone says it's fine, it's not fine.
Whatever.
I wouldn't go that far. Like, fine can be describing something that was okay.
You
like,
gotta hear the tone, though. When Nate just said it was fine, it wasn't actually fine.
I mean, I don't know if he had high expectations. I don't know if he played the game as a kid or something like that, but I just took it as, like, it was a movie that he made it through.
I took my little cousins, but regardless, I'm just sad. You want to talk about these sticky notes? Or
yeah.
You want to talk about... Can we give a letter grade real quick to the trade deadline for the Niners?
Yeah,
we did it in the crossover, but...
We didn't do that yet. I'm going to give a letter grade. I gave it a B, because at the end of the day, the Niners made a huge move by getting Chase Young, and he is going to be a great addition for them, more so of a speed threat than even Granny Gregory is on the other side of Bosa. And I think Chase Young has much more potential that hasn't been tapped into, because he was an phenomenal player at Ohio State, where he played with Nick Bosa. I do think he's going to be fantastic. However... The Niners did not add a cornerback, and that was their biggest need, was a corner. I don't understand where they're at with their cornerbacks. I don't get why they think they're going to be okay going forward.
Here's the thing, though, is that the D-line fixes the secondary, and that's a cliche.
It hasn't this year.
It hasn't this year because they're not getting home. I know Bosa has, like, the most QB hits in the league, but they're not getting home. They're not.
Yeah.
So adding, I almost said Montez Sweat. I don't know why, but adding Chase Young is huge.
And by the way, adding Chase Young at the same price that Kansas City gave up for Kadarius Toney.
Yeah, and
that's
it's so funny
to me.
It's a compensary pick too from the.
No, I'm not saying it's not a win. I'm just saying they should have done more.
Okay. Yeah.
They should have added a corner.
I am at A-. I think more could have been done. I think the reason I'm at A- is because we also got teased 45 minutes before the deadline that they were going to make another move, and that move never came.
Yeah, Tim Kawakami put that out there that he heard his sources in for another move. I expected them to make another move as well.
Yeah.
Because they just...
We texted each other. I texted you when it happened, and I think we were both on the same page that something else was happening. This was pre-tweet, too.
Well, I just... With all the other moves that were happening, I was confused.
Yeah.
Because I was like, why are they sitting out all this other stuff? Why are they not getting Ezra Cleveland? Why are they not getting Montez Sweat? Why are they not doing this? They can't be happy with where they're at right now. They have to be cooking something up. And I got trolled on Twitter, too, saying, oh, you called it. Ha, you didn't call it. Anyways, whatever. But
you're getting owned lately.
I've been getting owned lately. Look, it comes with the territory. If you ain't got Harris, you ain't popping. That's all I'm saying.
What?
If you ain't got haters.
You ain't popping.
If you ain't got haters.
You ain't popping.
That just sounded weird coming out of Emil's mouth.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. Look, everyone who's good at something has haters. No, not everyone's going to like you. That's okay. That's all right.
All right. Well... I'm going to introduce our little sticky note segment.
We did this at the start of the year,
yeah,
right?
So, and we've added to it one time, but it was kind of the idea. I feel like we're missing a couple, but the idea is I stole the idea from TNT, the broadcast with Ernie, all those guys.
Yeah,
Ernie,
NBA,
Chuck.
Yeah, NBA Insider.
Yeah, so they do this thing where during the season they do... You know, they make a bold prediction, put it up on the wall, come back to the end of the year, check it out, and see what they got right, what they didn't get right. And it's funny because, I mean, most of the stuff you get wrong. So, we're already on track here to get a lot of things wrong. So, Emil, I will start with you just because it's the freshest thing.
That's fine.
It was a prediction you had before the season started. Elijah Mitchell will be traded by the deadline. Didn't happen. I was on board for it. I thought it was very possible.
You can't say he's been great this year.
No, I mean, after I thought at the time I was on board with it for sure, and then you see how the season develops, and you're like, why is he not playing? Oh, he got hurt again. Okay, and he's still not playing. It didn't make sense.
I'm just saying right now, he's played in 5 games this year. He has 50 total rushing yards.
Yeah, crazy.
He has 22 attempts for 50 yards.
So
okay,
crazy.
It's not like he's played well.
No.
And yet your prediction was still wrong.
Correct. I like that. That was good.
So I'll do one of... Here's one of mine that I don't know. So before the season, right? Preseason, mostly. Jake Moody looked bad. He was a big concern for us.
Yes.
I'd say he was concern number two behind the quarterback fiasco. Speaking of ghosts, Sam Darnold. Seeing ghosts, whatever. Anyways, no
Hello,
way.
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
Yeah, but anyways, my prediction was Jake Moody will not be kicking for the 49ers by the playoffs. And you know what? Unfortunately, that is back on the table. It was off the table for the first 5 weeks. It is back on the table.
Oh.
I mean, he's that's a pretty key misses.
Yeah, he has.
And he's He's gotten us a little scared and a little rattled.
I definitely think it's a possibility. I don't know what it would take for them to cut him.
Oh yeah, I mean it would take. I'm just saying it's on the table.
Does he have to implode? Like fully implode? Like what would that even be? Would that be like missing every kick in the game?
Jeez, I don't even want to. Yeah, no.
Yeah,
but it's on the table.
I disagree. I think he's gonna make the playoffs.
Well, I think he will too.
I think he's got through the fire now.
Yeah, I think he will too. I hope I'm wrong on this one. This was just, I had to make a bad prediction.
He actually kicked very well week 8, so.
Okay. Yeah. Well, here's another, we'll do one more bad one for me. Another bad one. I said that Cleveland Furl gets 6 or more sacks this season. I believe he has 0 or half a sack this year.
I think he has more than that. Wait, what was the number you had of that?
I said he'd have 6 sacks this year. I was
he only has half a sack.
It.
You are right.
He has half a sack this year.
I don't know. It feels like more.
He is not on pace. Yeah, he's not on pace. Maybe with the addition of Chase Young, if he's playing opposite for some snaps, he can get in there.
He's been actually pretty good in some crucial spots. He was the reason why they got that turnover. It was Cleveland Farrell that forced that ball out from Irv Smith Jr. there on the turnover in the third quarter. I think Cleve's played better than what his stats say, but I do think he's not going to get 6 sacks.
Yes, I don't think so either, but I was pretty high on him. Now he's just a guy. But, Emil, you said the San Francisco 49ers will win 10 games and barely win the NFC West.
Man.
Unfortunately.
3 weeks ago, that was not the true, but now it is.
Yeah, I think they're an 11-win team.
I think 12, but yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, I thought you were going to stick to your guns with 10, because 10 seems like in the realm of possibility.
Maybe 10 then, 5.
Both of them are. They both are.
I think between 10 to 12 is where they're at. I don't think they can win more than 12 games.
It all depends on the Seahawks games, right?
It does. And I do think they win at least one of the Seahawks games. Yeah. I don't know if it's the away one or the home one, but I think they win at least one.
Well, 1-1, that's might not be good enough to win that division. I mean, some stuff's
got
to break.
They also got the Cardinals again, and they got the Rams again too.
Yeah, no, they're going to have some wins.
The
in
Rams
there.
Have just, already beaten Seattle, correct?
But the Rams also Stafford's hurt.
Yes.
Yeah,
he
but
is.
The Rams did beat Seattle week 1. I want.
True,
say.
But I'm just saying in terms of divisional games, they're probably going to win out the rest of the games. I don't expect them to lose any other divisional games, maybe one to Seattle, but that's it.
But tiebreakers, woo, tiebreakers. Yeah.
True. I do think Seattle will slow down a little bit, and the Niners will squeak by and win this division. It will be close.
I think Seattle implodes, and they lose every single game ever, always. That's my guess.
That's not biased at all.
No, I hate them.
Jeez.
Right, Emil had a Brandon Ayuk take a few weeks ago.
Does,
that I don't
yeah.
know what
we're,
happened.
We're getting there. We're getting there.
Yeah, I did.
We're going to go back to me, Mr. Narcissist. I said Brock Purdy would be a Pro Bowler. And that, I think, is on the table. Right?
Brock Purdy Pro Bowler?
Yeah.
Not alternate, just one of the top
like,
three?
Like a straight Pro Bowler?
Yeah,
no,
Kirk Cousins is out now.
I'm trying to think.
So, Jalen Hurts is probably going to be a Pro Bowler.
Jalen Hurts is a Pro Bowler.
So I think competition becomes... Like between him and Dak?
I'm just trying to think who the other one is.
Goff?
Goff is definitely a Pro Bowler.
Okay, so we got Goff
and
Hurts.
There's two. Then, so it's between Dak, Purdy, and...
I mean, last year's Pro
Bowl...
Gino, not versus Brock, right? I think Brock's been
Gino
better.
Did win comeback player of the year last year over Christian McCaffrey.
What did he come back from?
Yeah, sucking. No, just being bad.
Just
yeah.
being bad. Gino Smith came back from sucking.
From getting punched in the face 8 years ago.
Like, I mean, I think Derek Carr. I don't know.
No. Yeah. Don't. Let's not. I don't want to go to that route, please.
Okay, we won't
it's
go.
It's probably
that route.
Prescott or
yeah. I think Brock. I think he does it. Yeah. I think he. I'm staying on
you
that.
Stay,
I'm staying on that train.
It. Okay.
Staying on that train. Okay. Here's your Ayuk take. Ready?
Yeah.
Ayuk will have more receiving yards than Debo, and that is factual. Right.
That is
now.
Factual. That's not even factual. A joke.
Yeah, I should have snagged the stats before.
I'm looking at it right now. Brandon Ayuk has 620 receiving yards. You know how many receiving yards Debo has? 302.
Ugh.
That's 300 difference.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to catch him.
It's been a couple.
Really?
Yeah, and he's missing. He's missing.
Missing games.
At least till week 9.
He'll be back after the bye.
You think for sure?
Yes. I feel very confident, actually.
That's good for my fantasy team. Good.
Yeah. All right. So that
Brandon Ayuk is the best route running wide out on the team. I'm not saying he's wide receiver number one. I might be wrong about that. He's the best route running wide receiver.
Yeah,
on the
and that's
team.
Not a hot take, I don't think, at all.
No.
We're doing okay on these. These are okay.
Because we're kind of smart.
I'm not. I'll do another. Well, okay. One of me here. Christian McCaffrey will have the most TDs in a season he's ever had.
I think he's on pace.
I should be looking at these.
I'm looking at it right now. He's got 9.
Yeah.
He has nine rushing TDs.
Yeah, and he has, what, four?
His career high rushing TDs is 15.
Is it?
Yeah, 15 in the 2019 season.
Oh, I thought it was 19. Oh, rushing TDs. I apologize.
Yeah, just rushing.
How many all-purpose TDs?
19. He's at 13 right now.
Yeah.
Okay. He's going to break
that. He's going to break that.
So that's
on
base.
I know they got the extra game, but he's, yeah.
He's going to break that.
He's okay. And then, Emil, this is your last one so far, halfway through the season. Fred Warner will have 3-plus interception. He has one so far, correct?
No, Fred has two.
Two?
Fred has, I believe, two. Hold on. Hold that thought. Fred has...
Two.
Thank you. I thought it was two.
One Dallas, one Cleveland.
Yes.
Okay, one against Cleveland.
Yes.
Easy to forget that Cleveland.
I was trying to remember what the other one
was. Okay, so looks like you're going to get that. Hopefully. You hope.
Fred's been really adamant about this year, though, of
He's
getting
turnovers.
He's been
the best part of our defense, by far.
I know. Look, Fred has not played up to his standards either the last 3 weeks, but this is not all on Fred Warner.
Oh, my God.
Fred Warner is the heart and soul of this team, and while the defense's heart and soul has been taken the last couple of weeks, Fred Warner will admit to himself and is, I guarantee you right now, taking this bye week to heart and is watching game film like religion.
Yeah. Well, you know what? We got a couple minutes here. Let's do another sticky note. Let's do one. Let's add one more to the mix.
Do you want to go first? Do you want me to go first?
I think I'm going to do something with Chase Young here.
Oh.
Yeah.
I like this.
I think Chase Young has 5 49ers sacks this year. So he adds, so he'll end the season with 11. Because I believe he has 6 right now.
Okay.
I'm just looking at his PFF.
Okay.
So I think, Kyle, do you have sticky notes back there?
I can get them.
I think there's some back there. Do you mind writing that one down for me? Chase Young has 5. So this isn't good for my Cleveland Furl guess. This one is definitely a hot take, too.
I've already given up on the Cleveland Furl one.
Yeah. Oof. But yeah, that's my take. Do you have any hot takes you want to get out right now?
I do.
Oh, you do. I do. Fancy voice. Wow.
And it's gonna contradict yours.
Okay.
Wow, Chase Young is the new 49er, and he technically leads the 49ers in sacks. He has 5. The rest of the leaders are Javon Hargrave, Nick Bosa, and I forget who else for 3. I think it's Eric Armstead. I will say right now that Nick Bosa returns to form after the bye week and ends the season as the team leader in sacks.
Okay. And what is he at, 2.5 right now?
He's at 3.
3 right now.
He's 2 behind Chase Young. That's my bold prediction, is that despite adding Chase Young, Nick Bosa will come back to top form, and he will end the season as the team leader in sacks.
Okay. I like both of these. Both of them, I mean, that's completely fine.
Yeah.
I'm completely fine with those happening. I like that we did good ones because we're kind of in a sad place.
It's been
right
a really
now.
Negative show. Both with the guest and with everything, it's just been a really negative kind of, I mean, it makes sense because it's been a negative 3 weeks for the Niners. This is not a happy bye week. It's a bad bye week. Frankly, I'm surprised the players went on vacation because the players could have just stayed and got practice in and got more work done. Like they might have needed it because it's been a really rough 3 weeks for this team.
So before we get out of here, you have a conference call in the morning. We got to get out of here quick. What do you expect tomorrow to hear from John Lynch?
Just an introductory press conference of Chase Young talking about why they added him, what's going on with that, where he's going to slot in, what it took.
Maybe other moves they were trying to do.
Maybe other moves they were trying to do as well we're going to ask about. But yeah, 7:45 in the morning is what it is scheduled for right now. Just checking my notes with Niners PR. Yeah, 7:45 in the morning tomorrow, conference call with John Lynch. I will be on that with all notes. And then going on Sacktown Sports right after at 9 a.m. with the Carmichael Dave Show with a special guest apology from myself because I have to make an apology about my King's takes. But anyways, that's it for the Return of the Empire for this week. We'll be back next week after the bye. No game to preview, no game to give a prediction because there is no game for the Niners. But we'll have plenty to discuss after this going into Jacksonville Week 10. And until then, Emil Fragoso, Nate Littlefield, Kyle Ledbetter, we appreciate you always, my guy. Thank you for returning. Everyone, thank you in the YouTube chat. Thank you for listening. We appreciate and love all of you. Have a great rest of your Halloween and be safe out there, trick or treat. See ya.